is the topic of Kuklai Soakum. And you can see from the Mile of Comus, which were given. And what I really find the most fascinating part of the topic, really, is how much is covered by one kasha. How much is really covered by how you resolve one kasha? Everything somehow seems to hinge on the resolution of a taisus kasha, and how you're going to be miyasha. This kasha will depend on how you're in fact going to move on a host of problems. Should maybe we're supposed to wait? Wait. Yeah, how you resolve this question and the terrors that you give to this kasha really will bring in a multitude of psaks. For example, are you allowed to celebrate legal and religious holidays? Is there such a thing? I must tell you before we start, a little bit I have a vested interest in the problem, in the shiva. I got married on December 25th. Now, we needn't discuss December 25th, but that's when I got married. I got married, I was the yeshiva bracha, Rosh Hashiva came, nobody said a word, I even thought, I tell you, I'm sure they didn't dawn on me that there was a problem. I got married December 25th, if you want a little personal history, my wife came from out of town, we were getting married in New York, people had to travel back and forth. How do you do that? It's perfect, get married, on the holiday, on the day when nobody has to go to work. And this way you can come and you can go, and it's terrific, it's marvelous. You have a chasm at 4:00. There, the whole problem was, it happens with Hanukkah. What are you going to do with Hanukkah? When are you going to bench? Where are you going to bench? But all right, that already was a simple kind of a problem. Lo and behold, following my chasana, I open up once an Igris Moshe. Sure, the Igris Moshe on everything under the sun. And lo and behold, I find that there's a tshuva that says maybe I wasn't supposed to get married then. Finally, Tachan, what's going on around here? If you take a look, the first page, where on the bottom it's appended to a tshuva, it's in the Eben Ezer. It's in Chelik Beis of Eben Ezer. It's in Chelik Beis of Eben Ezer. On the bottom it says, "Vadova lasei Ezer Simcha, b'mei eid shel hanochr," to make a party on the days that the goyim celebrate, in whom mitzad emunosom, in bekavona machmas shehu yom eid. I don't think you have to translate it, do we? Okay. Also be dinner. Begam beloy kavona yesh lasos mitzad maras ayin. Usudas mitzvah kamila pidyon haben yesh lasos afilu bimei eid mishalahem. I mean, that's simple. I mean, that's because bayeri mashmini. There's nothing to talk about. If the eighth day happens to come out December 25th, there's nobody saying that you shouldn't make the brit. Or 30 days later, the pidyon haben. That's for certain. Okay? Last of Bishvil Maris, I am Sudis Amachiyov. I'm Sudis Bar Mitzvah. As far as a Bar Mitzvah is concerned, my son is getting Bar Mitzvah, and I want to know when to pick the day. And lo and behold, it happens to come out around December. I said, well, I have a tremendous idea. Okay, today you can become frum because nobody has to ride on Shabbos. It's terrific. You don't have to put anybody up. So on that, he says, I'm Sudis Bar Mitzvah, told Litchai Tadyay Machir. Better not to make it on those days. Then he says, the af nesuyin, yesh likvoya lechatchila ayoy machir. The preference is not to get married on that day. Not to get married on that day. And then he says, v'yom rishon, mishono, Sunday. Sunday. I mean, I don't know. Everybody gets married Sunday. V'yom rishon, mishono shalahem.
New Year.
Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, yeah. V'yom Rishon Mishana Shalahem, the first day of the year, we're going to come to Sunday. I'm sorry, you're right. V'yom Rishon Mishana Shalahem, that's on January 1st. V'chein Thanksgiving, and as far as Thanksgiving is concerned, Ein Le'etzo Midino, as far as the din is concerned, you should not say it's awesome. If you want to get married on Thanksgiving or on January 1, it's okay. Ein Le'etzo Midino Avo Bal Nefesh Yesh Lehem Lahachim. But a real frum person would be mine. What's the problem? What's the shiva? What exactly is the problem? Again, as I say, it's almost incredible to see how many topics can fall under the category of one teretz to a taisus kasha. We will take up that. We will take up celebrating Thanksgiving. You will have the same question, for example, which I don't know if we're supposed to discuss that, but we'll touch on it. Wearing clothing of this sort, am I allowed to wear a suit of this sort? Or do I have to wear a long black coat? Am I allowed to wear a regular hat? Am I allowed to wear a regular jacket? All of these things fall into that category. The last part, which we'll take up, hopefully if we have time for, is the question of giving presents at the end of the year, which pretty much falls into the same thing. There is a, my garbage man comes around, I know already it's around the middle of December, when he starts ringing the bell and he'll start telling me we forgot to put out the garbage pails, or the mailman who bangs on the door, can I help you and give you your mail? You know already what time of the year it is. They're not doing it, they're doing it because they want a present. Am I permitted to give him a present?
Are you permitted Stamazai to give him a present?
Am I permitted Stamazai to give him a present? And we'll get into this topic basically because it always comes out around that time of the year. Is that call that I'm giving him some kind of a recognition of the umpire? Now, it all boils down, as I say, which I find incredible. If you take a look at the Gemara, there are two Gemaras. The first Gemara is in Avodah Zarah. There the Gemara states as follows. The Gemara is the Gemara is talking about burning clothing of a melech. It seems that the Gemara was talking about burning clothing of a melech. Are you permitted to do it? Is the call following the Chukas Akum, which means the Goyim used to burn the clothing of their kings. The question was, well, was a Jew permitted to do the same thing? Okay, then the Gemara talks about it. It's a number of lines down after where the lines get bigger. Then the Gemara says, Alma Sreifa La Chukihi. Okay, so the Gemara says, you see that burning the clothing is not considered to be Chukas Akum. Lichlal Rabban and Sabre Sreifa Chukihi. So the Gemara asks, Akasha V'latanya Sarfan Al HaMalachim V'lemi Darki HaMari. The Gemara says, you see that you are permitted to burn the clothing. V'chukahu Anon Heche Sarfina. Right? Assuming that it is considered to be chukas akum, to burn the clothing of the king. So how do we burn the clothing of our king? And this is the important part. Well, Ksiva says, Ella the Gemara answers as follows. This is the final teretz of the Gemara. Ella the kula alma sreifa la chukihi. Everybody holds that sreifa, this means the burning of the garments of the king, is not a chuk. Ella is not chukas akum. Ella chshivusihi. It's considered to be a nice thing to do. Out of respect for the king, I don't use what the king has. Right? It's a nice thing to do. The king's car, nobody drives in. The king's chariots, you don't use. It's considered out of that deference and respect to the king that we don't use what he used. Therefore, what's that? Well, what are you going to do with it? So you burn it to get rid of it. So the Gemara here, as far as the Gemara is concerned, rules that the burning of the garment of the king is not called chukaseim loyselechu, it is just considered to be something which is done out of deference for the position of the king. Nobody uses what the king used before. Okay? That is Gemara number one. On that, Taisus asks a kasha, which is the Taisus asks a kasha from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. From the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is the next sheet, it's Nun Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara, which is Nun Beis Amid Beis, so here the Mishnah is talking about something completely different. Here the Mishnah is talking about how one kills a person who's chayiv misa. How do you kill someone who's chayiv misa? So the Gemara says, Mitzvah Sanherogin, the Mitzvah of Herek, Hoya Matizin es Rosa Besayim. Chop his head off. Kederach Shaham Lachemaisa. The way the Goyim used to do. Rabbi Yehuda says, Nivul Huloi. This is considered to be a disgusting way of doing something. Ela Manichin es Roshay al Hastadin. Bekaitim Bekupit. Omalai Ein Misa Menuvelasin Zeh. Shailin the Gemara, how you should in fact, inflict the Misa of Herod. Okay? Then the Gemara comes along and the Gemara says, I the Chukasayim Leshelechu. What do you mean, if that's the way the Goyim do it, how can we follow the way the Goyim are doing it? So the Gemara now comes along and the Gemara says, Eloi te mohachi, hoda tanya sarfan al hamalochim v'lemi darki hamari. Again, the same Gemara which we had in Avodah Zarah. And here's where the problem is going to come. Hechi sarfina v'haksivu v'seim v'leisei lechu. Elikei v'ndeksiv sreifa v'oi raisa. Since it says in the Torah that you're supposed to kill with sreifa, we're not learning it from them, but it's out. But basically, Tosfos Kasha is quite simple. If you go back to the page in the Gemara, now it is over now. Tosfos has a very simple kasha. Tosfos Kasha is as follows. In the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, it says that the reason why we're allowed to burn the clothing of the king is because it's called Chivusoi. We're doing it out of deference to the king. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara is of the opinion that the reason why we are permitted to burn the garments of the king is because it says it's a pasuk somewhere that that's what you're supposed to do. And wherever it says a pasuk, then you're able to do it even if the goyim do it. That's Tosfos Kasha. Why are we permitted to burn the clothing of the king? Gemara in Sanhedrin says you're permitted not because it's chukaseim loyseleich, which really not considered chukasakim. So why do we do it? We do it because it's out of deference to the king. On the other hand, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is of the opinion that you are permitted to burn the clothing of the king for what reason? You're permitted to burn the clothing of the king because the pasuk, we have a pasuk, and that's where we got it from. So even if we get it, if we got it from a pasuk, even if the guy now do it, that's not called b'chukaseim loyseleich. Tosfos says a stir. That's the kasha which Tosfos is. Tosfos Teretz is a little difficult. What exactly is Tosfos' answer? What's Tosfos' Teretz to the kasha? The Tosfos is v'yichukei heichis arfina. How do you understand Tosfos' kasha? How do you understand Tosfos' Teretz? The kasha is easy. How do you understand Tosfos' Teretz? So if you take a look down, Pirush Ri, see where Tosfos starts the answer? Up and up until that is the kasha. Tosfos says, Pirush Ri, the train God may chukah have. There are two kinds of chukah. Tosfos is of the opinion there are two kinds of chok.
Where is the
Ri?
Pirush
Ri. The kach Pirush Ri. The kach Pirush Ri. Up until that point, that's the kasha. The kach Pirush Ri. All the Rishonim, by the way, has the kasha. I mean, nobody who wrote, I mean, none of the Rishonim who dealt with either wrote on Avodah Zarah or Sanhedrin. It's not the kasha. Same kasha you find it all over. You find it written here in Avodah Zarah, you find it there in Sanhedrin. Tosfos says, Lakach Pirush Ri, the train gav ne chukah hava. There are two kinds of chok. There are two kinds of chukas akhi. Echad she'oisim l'shem chuk l'avodis kachovim. One is where it's being done for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. The echad she'oisim l'shem da'at hevel v'l'shtush shalahem. What does that mean? What does all this mean? The trei gavnei chukah. There are two kinds of chukas akhi. Echad she'oisim l'shem chuk chok l'oivet kachovim. One is where it's being done for the Avodah Zarah. The echad she'oisim l'shem da'at hevel v'shtush shalahem. And then Tosfos said, so here we're dealing with the chukas akal, which is being done for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. Tosfos says, and even if it says in the Torah, in other words, if you're dealing with a chuk, which the Avodah Zarah, which the Goyim used with Shem the Avodah Zarah, then even if you have a pasuk in Chumash or not telling you that you should do it, it becomes us. Yesh la'eser, kevin shalahem hu chok la'avodis kechovim. And Tosfos has a proof. The famous Ramban, talks about this in Dvorah. Dumya de Maseva. Tosfos says it's comparable to the Maseva. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov used the Matseva. It was considered to be the most marvelous way of serving Hashem. And as soon as the Goyim started doing it, all of a sudden the Torah said, I don't like it. What do you mean what happened? What do you mean don't like it? Avraham did it, it was good. Now I want to do it, it's no good? So Tosfos is saying, that which the Goyim used for the Avodah Zarah, they use it as a chok for the Avodah Zarah, that becomes also whether or not it's a pasuk or there's no pasuk. The fact that the Goyim use it for the Avodah Zarah makes it also. However, Tosfos says, right? Tosfos, on the other hand, is going to say as follows. That which is used just by the goyim as not something which is used in the Avodah Zarah, now it depends. If I have a pasuk, then it becomes mutter. And if I don't have a pasuk, then it becomes osur. So Tosfos differentiates between two types of chukah. One is something which is a chok l'Avodah Zarah. It's something that the goyim used in the Avodah Zarah. That becomes osur even if you have a pasuk. Tosfos is raya from the Matzeva. On the other hand, there is a chuk which is a hevel and a shtus. Whatever that means. Hevel and shtus. I don't know. Just something that's done. I don't know. Maybe Tosfos knows. It's kind of a tie. Every year the style changes. They want me to buy a new tie every year, so every year the style changes. One year it's wide, one year it's thin. Because if it's always going to be wide, so I bought one tie, I can use the same tie as long as I keep it clean. So I guess that's what Tosfos means by a chuk which is hevel and shtus. What's a chok which is l'shem avodah zarah? I mean, what are examples of these things? So that we understand what we're talking about. Tosfos clearly says there are two kinds of chuk l'avodah zarah. There is a chukah which is something which is used for the avodah zarah, and on the other hand, there is a chok which is hevel and shtus. A chok which is l'avodah zarah, that's always also, no matter what. Even if you have a pasuk in Tanakh telling you that it's good to do, it becomes also. Tosfos has a good right. I say it. Avraham used it. I can't. Why? Used to have it as own. Parenthetically, I guess one should mention, when you come out according to this, that any goyim that want to put us out of business, goyim that want to put us out of business. It's a very simple way to put us out of business. If they learn this Tosfos, they can put us out of business in no time. They just do everything that we do, and they institute it as a part of their service. In the worship of the Avodah Zarah, we're out of business. Literally, you're out of business. Take everything and you put it out, you're out of business.
Can't be
you want to undo a mizbeah? Fine. What do you think he's going to do? It's to build a mizbeah, you know, somewhere up on Fifth Avenue, and you're out of business. Ice. It can't be worse than a Matzeva. Yeah.
Couldn't be this in this
time.
Now we
have
the
hospital
at that place. We're out of business. Now we
can put it on there. Could be. I know what you mean. Fine. That is as far as Tosfos is concerned. Then Tosfos has no right. And that Tosfos has no right. So, I mean, you just did away with Tosfos' right.
So
I follow the Svara. I'm not arguing with the Svara, but you did away with Tosfos' right. Because it's all because Avraham wasn't the Tzuva, so there's nothing to talk about. You did away with Tosfos' right. Tosfos' Paket. Tosfos is saying it's a right, and even if it's Tzuva be Korah, it still becomes offer because it's something that the guy amused. So, literally, put it out of business. And what Tosfos told us, you put us out of business. What? By Avraham was more than mutter. By Avraham, Tosfos says, was Ahuva. The Rabbi Shalom loved it.
So
he loved it. It's more than just mutter. It's something which was Ahuva l'fnei ha'makom became shnua l'fnei ha'makom. How does that work?
Even if he wasn't the Tzuva, it was Ahuva l'fnei
ha'makom. Right? Okay.
Why does it matter that he wasn't the Tzuva? He still has the right.
Yeah.
No. So then now that you become a mitzvah, so then it can't become snur. Once you're a mitzvah, it could be it never becomes snur.
No. Why can't it be that
can happen? No, Tosfos is saying you have a riot.
We were never mitzvah in Matzeva because it was already snur. But now those things that we were mitzvah in.
You mean we never became mitzvah? I didn't understand that. You mean we never became mitzvah in a Matzeva because then they did it before we became mitzvah? So why is it in the Torah? So why did
they
talk?
We have a pasuk that says that it's
snua. You mean now? The pasuk in Devarim that now makes it snua. So when we became mitzvah, we never became mitzvah because it was always snua. Okay. That's Tosfos' teretz. We seem to not follow Tosfos' teretz. What do I mean by the fact that we seem to not follow Tosfos' teretz? The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, which again, I mean, the only way we can decide on which teretz we follow, all the Rishonim talk about it. The Goyen has teretz and Tosfos has a teretz. The Ramah. Now, which teretz do we follow? So the Ramah quotes a Ma'arik. The Ramah quotes a Ma'arik who at great length discussed the same teretz, and the Ma'arik had a slightly different approach. The Ma'arik, you can see it in the Ramah, where what is the teretz of the Ma'arik? This is the Ramah in Kuf Ayin Ches. What is the teretz of the Ma'arik? Ma'arik had a different teretz than the Kash. And evidently, if the Ramah passes like this Ma'arik, evidently we follow the Ramah. right? What do they call it? Normative Judaism follows the psak of the Ramah. What was the Ramah teres to this kasha? Excuse me, what was the Marik teres to this kasha? Let me tell you just, I mean, while you're looking at it, what was the question that was posed to the Marik? It seems that there was a doctor. And it seems in those days, evidently, there was some kind of a custom which had to do with the Goyim, where the doctors all wore white coats. And somehow this was related somehow to the Avodah Zarah. How exactly it was related, I don't know. But somehow this must have been related to the Goyim. So this doctor came along and asked the Marik if he's allowed to wear this white coat. Is he permitted to go? Is the doctor wear this white coat? Like today, for example, you see all doctors in hospitals, they don't walk around in their suit jackets. They walk around, they put on a white coat, and they walk around in these jackets. So he asked the Marik, is he permitted to use him to wear this white coat? The Marik held yes. Why? So the Marik had a different teretz to the same Tosfos Kasha. And evidently the Ramah is passing like this Marik. If you take a look, you read the Ramah says as follows. We should be separated from the Goyim in our dress and in our deportment. Now, here, the Ramah is not like Tosfos. The Marik was of the opinion that the only time it's considered to be Chukas HaAkum is when the Goyim instituted it for no reason, or it is considered to be Pritzus. Pritzus would mean something which is non-sneer, right? The Goyim instituted to wear red clothing. For whom Malbush Sorif, and it is the garment of the king, Ukadaimala there, the Malbush Hapritzes, and that's considered to be a non-modest dress.
I guess.
You mean how come the women today wear red dresses? I don't know. Evidently, I mean, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, that red was a princess kind of a dress. I don't know. This is the Shulchan Aruch, where it passes.
Yeah, it's an Aruch in the Brochus, like the Master was putting grips off the
woman who's wearing. The Aruch says Kabbalah means a red dress. It means a red dress. That's this Ramah. Yeah, I don't know what you mean. He ripped it off and they made him pay.
Because she was a Shiksa.
Okay, it ended up that she was a Shiksa. But he didn't know that originally. What is the Marik say? Same kash. I mean, clearly. Same kash. What did the Marik answer? The Marik had two criteria. A, it has to be instituted by the Goyim. Absolutely no time. There's no reason in the world for this. The second thing is it has to be priestess inherently in its nature. So therefore, the Marik is saying the doctors who want to wear these white coats, fine and dandy, that's okay. Why is it okay? It was evidently instituted for a reason. What's the reason? Everybody wants to know who's the doctor. You know, the guy who walks around with the stethoscope, everybody knows he's the doctor, right? So therefore, since we want everybody to know who is the doctor, therefore the doctors put on a certain coat. You know, you want to know who is the... Someone told me, he says, you want to know who's the Rav in the shul? He says he wears the hat. He had a, he didn't want to wear a regular hat. Shabbos used to wear a, what do they call those hats? A Hamburg. Why? So everybody should know who is the Rav. You should not convey if that's how they tell who's the Rav by the Hamburg that he wears. But here it was necessary that everybody should know who is the doctor. Therefore, in order to know who is the doctor, so everybody wore a white coat, and the white coat said, I'm the doctor. So it was instituted for a tayelis. There was a reason. There's a smar behind what they did. Since it was instituted for a reason, for a tayelis, and for a smar, that's not called b'chukasayim leshelech. Next, also, if it would be something which is preaches, then it's also awesome. What's the smar behind the marik? I understand the marik very well. What's the smar behind the marik? Why did Marik say what he said?
The whole reason that Goyim do things that they do is, can I get, well, what we consider right? And one of the important things that we have is tznius, and so they do things almost lachachis fritzes.
Could be. Could be. I understand your reasoning. I didn't understand it that way exactly.
If there's a reason for it, then we don't have to be told what we're doing.
If there's a reason for it, then I call following the Goyim. I'm doing it because there's a reason. To my request, I said, look, let's be honest. You're coming along and you're telling me that I'm following the Goyim, right? I definitely understood it that way. You're coming along and you're telling me I'm following the Goyim. What do you mean I'm following the Goyim? I have a reason for doing what I'm doing. You can't tell me I'm following the Goyim. If I'm doing something which has absolutely no reason, right? So why am I doing it? I'm doing it because the Goyim did it. Fine, I call the Chukasei. I'm like, if there is a reason for my doing it, so naturally the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm doing it, because there's a reason. You want to know why I'm wearing a white coat, right? I want everybody to know I'm the doctor. When I send them in my nice big bill, I want them to know that they paid for the fact that I'm the doctor. While on the other hand, if I'm going to do something which has absolutely no reason whatsoever, so if there's no reason behind it, so why am I doing it? I'm never doing it, exactly. I'm doing it for what reason? I'm doing it because I want to be like the guy. Fine, you want to be like the Goyim? That's already awesome. The problem becomes in the Marik. What I understand the problem in the Marik is why you need a second part. If it's priestess, that's also anyway. That's also anyway. Priestess is also anyway. I'm not allowed to walk around like a Prutza. Woman is not allowed to walk around like a Prutza. Evidently, the Marik was of the opinion, again, I can only, my opinion. Evidently, the Marik was of the opinion that this was not real halachic priestess. If it was awesome because of real priestess, so then it's awesome. Here, evidently, this was one of those things that was not necessarily 100% known priestess. So why am I doing it? Why is this woman wearing this red dress? She's doing it because she wants to do well with all the Goyim wearing. Oh, you're doing it because all the Goyim are doing it, therefore, evidently, that's awesome. There's a beautiful Bach. The Bach has a beautiful shot. Really. Sometimes you see certain things that they just hit you. The Bach has a beautiful shot. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, we learned it last year, we learned Baba Kama, so the Gemara at the end of the seventh parak, there the Gemara talks about cutting your hair like the Goyim. There was something which was called, Lurius and Safer Kumi. It's hard to even know what exactly these things were. But evidently there was a certain way of cutting the hair in the manner that the Goyim did. Cutting it short, long, whatever it was. So the Gemara there says, of course, that that's also, because they're following in the ways of the Goyim. Comes along the Gemara now, the Gemara has a heter. Who does the Gemara have a heter for? The Gemara says a Karv L'Machus. A Karv L'Machus is a heter. Karv L'Machus is a heter. I happen to work for Reagan. I work in the government. And I really want to know what's going on. This is the way the Mepharshim seem to learn. I want to know what's going on. Because when they're going to be preparing a pogrom, I want to know about it. So in order to be one of the insiders, so what do? I cut my hair the same way that they do. Nobody knows the difference. Therefore, I'll know all the secrets, and when a problem will come up, I'll be able to tell the yid. So, the Mepharshim, I think the Kesef Mishnah and the Rambam, it's in Perek Yud Aleph, Mehilchos Avodah Zarah. What do you mean? How can you be mad? This is the Raisa. This is the Raisa. What we say? Unless you're Mehilchos, this is the Raisa. No, this is the Raisa. How can you be mad? This is the Raisa. So one Perek is Pikuach Nefesh. Well, Pikuach Nefesh is easy. This is the Raisa. Pikuach Nefesh takes care of it. Another Perek, which the Kesef Mishnah brings, is that it's like Melacha and Chalamoyim. It's like Melacha and Chalamoyim. The Torah said it's Osa. They gave it over to the Chachamim to decide what's Osa, what's Mutter. And the Chachamim decided that according to Malchus is Mutter. Fine, nothing to talk about. The Chachamim said you gave us the right to decide, so we decided according to Malchus is Mutter. The Bach has us. He says as follows. He says, well, this is my Rick. Why is Kashi? What's the problem? He says, the whole reason why B'chukai say Malay Selech was Osa is why. No reason. No reason. What's the shot? No reason. No reason means that the only reason why I'm doing it is to be like the guy. He says, what are you talking about? The carve to the Malchus, why was he doing it? Why was the carve to the Malchus doing it? The carve to the Malchus was doing it because he wanted to be able to say the end. So there is a reason. If there is a reason, there's no Bechukah saying like the left. So what's the kasha? No, but he's doing it not to be like the guy. He's doing it for a reason to protect the Yidden. Once he's doing it to protect the Yidden, so he's no longer doing it to be like the Goyim.
No, the Maharik, the reason is on their side. Here, the reason.
You mean because they're
going to
see me that I'm doing it, and they're going to think that I want to be like them?
No,
well,
the reason.
I can do
the Maharik says if they do it for a reason and the reason doesn't apply, then you can do it. Their reason originally was for Avodah Zarah with the white coat, but now your reason is a different reason.
Fine. Why am I cutting my hair like the guy?
For a different reason.
Why am I cutting my hair like the goyim? I'm cutting my hair like the goyim not to be like the goyim. I'm cutting my hair to look like the goyim so that the goyim will in fact talk to me, and whenever there's a problem, I'll know about it. So I'm doing it for what reason? Not to be like the goyim. I'm doing it in order to be able to know what's going on. Fine, that's not cool. What you saying? What's your life? That's the Marik. 100% he says, that's the Marik. What's he talk about? He says, that is the Marik. I'm wearing a white coat because I want you to know I'm the doctor. I'm cutting my hair the way you goyim cut the hair so that you'll be on the ear and I'll know all the secrets. I'll know whether or not they're selling non to Iran right away. That's very important to me. I have to know that. Very important. How am I going to know that? The only way I'm going to know that is that I'm going to be one of the guys around the president. How am I going to be around the president if I'm going to cut my hair long? And everybody cuts their hair short, they go, oh, the idol is here. They're not going to tell me anything. So he says, the reason why I'm cutting my hair differently than everybody else is in order to look just like the guy. Why am I doing this? So that the guy will let me know all of the secrets. Well, finally, he says, that's Marik. He says, Marik says, that's not what the Chukwe Tam Leish Aleichem. He says, priestess is not. Priestess is not. Following in the ways of the Goyim is not. 100% mutter. Not a bad riot. No.
The case with the doctor and the white clothing, though, is a little different. The Tom there really isn't that you're explicitly acting that way to save other Jews. It's more, the doctor can now function normally according to the norms of society that don't have any particular religious value attached to them. So the doctor can wear the clothing of a doctor. People should know. Businessmen will wear the garb of businessmen in order to interact in that section of society. So it's really a very broad, a specific example that has very broad implications.
According to the Marek, almost everything is mutter.
That's exactly, yeah. That's
according to the Marek, almost everything is mutter.
That's right.
Yeah, you have to go far and wide to find out what's mutter. No, I'll tell you some of the things that may not be mutter. I'll tell you some of the things that may not be mutter. And again, this is not the topic. So we'll just mention them and go on. There was a tremendous abhorrence. I mean, look through the truth. When they wanted to institute, for example, in Germany, changing the Nusach HaTfila from Ivrit to German. Now, what was the problem? You know what I think the problem was? They told us, when they went ahead and they took and they mixed the pews. The problem was, why did they mix the pews? They mixed the pews because they wanted to be just like the Goyim. It was 100% let's be like the Goyim. On Sunday morning, this guy went to church when his friend's son was being confirmed, and he saw that the men and the women were sitting together, and he felt embarrassed that he was going to come to shul on Shabbos when he invites his goy to come to visit his kids for his kid's bar mitzvah. He's going to feel embarrassed, so they wanted to mix the pews. There was a tremendous abhorrence to this. Rabbanim hated it. Now, right, that's the old time stuff. Let's get to some of the new stuff. A bas mitzvah celebration. Now, why has this suddenly come up? Why did this suddenly come up? I mean, we're, you know, honest people. Why did this suddenly come up? Is it because that's the outside world that's doing it? That could very well be. If that would be the pension, that could be, maybe that's called the Chukki Sayyam Leish Aleichem. And there's not the Marik. There's not the Marik anyway. You don't have the Marik Hector. What's the Hector? Wait a minute, I'm doing it for a reason. What's my reason? If I'm doing it because I want to inspire my daughter, because I realize there's a tremendous importance that a girl should participate in Yiddishkeit, fine. Okay, it's marvelous. So where's the Chofetz Chaim who said it's a great idea to start opening up the Beit Yaakov? On the other hand, what happens if I'm doing it just because, hey, the friend next door, she had she was confirmed, so my kid has to have a bat mitzvah. Oh, that could be the Chofetz Chaim later. If you'll take a look, for example, we won't go through it because it's just too long. I'll come to it in a second. We won't go through it, it's just too long. I dare ask you the shuv in the Malamed L'Hoyel. The Malamed L'Hoyel dealt with the problem of an organ in the shul. He was against the organ in the shul on a Tuesday. We seem to think that the problem of the organ in the shul was only on Shabbos. Am I allowed to play the piano on Shabbos? The problem was that the organ was an instrument which was used in the church on Sunday, and therefore on Tuesday, forget about Shabbos. Shabbos was a completely different problem. Am I allowed to have the organ in the shul on Tuesday because that's called the Bechuk HaTayim Leish HaLeichem? You don't have the Marik Heta there anymore. You don't have the Marik Heta anymore. My accept is gone. What are you doing it for? You're only doing it because you want to be just like the Goyim. Fine, that's awesome. That's what you're saying. Well, I say, well, the fact that I got married on December 25th, so I prefaced it by telling you that my wife and her family came from Washington. Why did I tell you for? I'm telling my life history to make a difference to you. You care where my wife comes from. The talent is that by doing that, now it could very well be that the chasana which takes place is not being done because I'm giving any amount of credence to December 25th. As far as I'm concerned, December 25th and December 24th and December 23rd, same days of the week. The reason why I'm doing it was simple. People had to come from there, they had to come to here. Today is the day when they don't work. Fine. That's the marik. That's the marik. On the other hand, it could very well be that all those things are not. For example, I want to close down a yeshiva on Sunday. We traditionally have always had yeshiva on Sunday. I'm sure there's always been a movement. Why do you have school on Sunday for? Why should we have yeshiva on Sunday? Could very well be that closing the yeshiva on Sunday would be a deference to Sunday. Maybe it would be awesome. Could we say, unless they live? If the Torah says you must have yeshiva on Sunday, maybe not. Maybe we're going to close down the yeshiva and say, well, the fathers and the mothers are home. That's the marik. Once you start, the fathers and the mothers are home, then you're talking about the marik. But at least know what you're talking about. That you have to know. How do we ask this kasha? The way Tyson says terrorism to the kasha, you have nothing to talk about. It's all us. It's heaven and shtut. The whole thing is ridiculous. It's called b'chukah same way second. I have a pasuk. And it's still us. As far as the marik, what's concerned, it depends. If I have a reason why I'm doing it, then it's okay. And if I don't have a reason, it's not okay. And you can go on like this. We can spend all day just on the example. There are plenty of things that become us, even according to the marik.
I think maybe it's possible that the things that come out of the case of For them as well. And so since the main reason they do it is what he's telling you is if they are doing it for a reason, for something that has for a reason, and we can also do it for a reason. But in the case of glory, which is clearly a style, well, they are not doing it for a reason. And so although we might do it for a reason, since when they do it they don't have a reason, then we have the problem. In other words, the point is, does the activity itself have a reason even when they do it? That seems pretty obvious thing.
You mean the glory is something that doesn't make sense at all? That's just a matter of style.
Yes. For them.
The Gemara says that to study Greek, Kochmas
right.
Yavonis, I think the Gemara's other example is.
Right.
That's also, it's also called the Chukasayim Leitei Leichel. How could you be matur? This is a raisa for carbon model.
Right.
There's nothing, because it's being done for a reason.
Yes, and I'm saying that there would be, you would have, you would have the, 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 Because the Maharishi Center only extends to something that when they originally do it for a reason, then we imitate them. The Maharishi Center would not apply to this situation.
Parenthetically, again, which is not something which we're going to discuss, but I don't remember where I saw this, but there's something very interesting about this Gemara, which the Marik brings. Evidently, someone points out, evidently, the people always dressed in the ways of the Goyim. What's the Raya that they always dressed in the ways of the Goyim? The Gemara says that they were Mata for a Korv L'Malchus to change the style of his hair. Right? What about his clothing? Evidently, the clothing were always the same. I mean, imagine, here I am, I wear my kapotah. Right? Here I am, a fellow who dresses in a kapotah. Now, all of a sudden, I become a member of the cabinet. So what are you telling me? I can cut my hair the way the goyim do. What do I do with my kapotah? So evidently, the Gemara was totally unconcerned with the kapotah. Why was the Gemara so unconcerned with the kapotah? Because evidently, everybody wore the clothing that the goyim wore. Style was style. So inherent in this Gemara is that style is style. It doesn't make a difference. You can wear whatever you want. This suit is no problem. What's my problem wearing this suit? Why are you going to come along and tell me that you're a satna chassi? You tell me, no, I have to wear a kapot. No! Where? What do you mean the Gemara says I don't have to wear a kapot? The car of the Malchus was able to cut his hair a certain way. A terror. Why didn't the Gemara worry about his clothing? Because evidently the clothing were the same. It's not my riot. I mean, it's too good to be mine. It's not my riot. I mean, I remember where I saw it, but I definitely saw it. He says, evidently you see from the Gemara that the clothing was always the same. For whatever the reason was, the clothing was always the same. Maybe the clothing was not a chukka for the Avodah Zarah, whatever it was, but the clothing evidently was always the same. Yeah.
What about if you wanted to be ma'akev on the Seder, because Avram Yaakov were ma'akev on the Seder. So the reason is a different reason.
Start again.
According to the Maharik, you want to be Ma'akev on HaMaseva because Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were Ma'akev on HaMaseva. So just like the others did it, so you want to do it also.
It's awesome. Torah says it's awesome. It's a blessing of Chumash. You're not allowed to use the Ma'aseva. So it's awesome.
But it wouldn't be awesome because of Chuvah saying.
It's awesome because the Torah says it's awesome. It's called the Torah. The Taisus is proving that even something which was Ahuva with Nea Malkoin, if it becomes a chukla, by the Zohar, it could become awesome.
That's only because it's special list, or it's not because...
That's because the Torah. Evidently the Torah asked it because the Goyim used it for the Avodah Zohar. So even though you have a pasuk in Chumash telling you that it's terrific, the fact that the Goyim used it for Avodah Zohar makes it awesome. The fact that the Goyim used it for Avodah Zohar makes it awesome. That Taisus is going that something which is a chukla by the Zohar, as opposed to a chuk which is heavily shtut, that a chokla by the Zohar, even if there's a pasuk telling you that it's muta, if they use it for a chokla by the Zohar, it becomes awesome.
Does the Maharik look at the origins or the current practice?
I don't know. I mean, could it change? It's coming according to this, every day will change. Every day things will change. And there's what you're really saying is that if they want to move an organ into the shul today, it's maybe not as bad as it was in the times of the Lama Lord. That's what you mean to say. Now, I don't know. I really don't know. But I know that you're in a lot of quicksand. Because it's going to come out according to this, that every month of Ganesh, they're going to change the tshuvas. It's going to be every tshuva which was written on this subject 3 days ago can become obsolete. Again, I'm not saying no, but
I mean, isn't that intrinsic in Kukulas and Goyim, which that things that were also enrolled in 400 are
also fine, okay, but now what you're doing is you're going to now have to rewrite the tshuvas every 3 weeks. Every 3 weeks you're going to have to rewrite the tshuvas.
Why every 3 weeks?
Well, I mean, whatever they change. I don't mean 3 weeks. Whatever they change. Yeah, that's what he's saying. What he's saying is that today maybe to have davening in English is not as bad as it was to have davening in German. Because the reason why they're doing it today is not the same as the reason why they did it in Germany 100 years ago. That's what he means. I think that's what he means.
It's like having a homish translation.
Yeah, what you're basically doing is you're saying that there's going to be a tremendous change, and every time you're going to have to reread and rewrite the children. I don't know, every 3 weeks. But every 5-10 years, you're going to have to decide, well, what's motivating this group today? What's motivating this group today? By the way, he has a letter of Moshe Feinstein on his women's prayer group, in which he pretty much says that it depends what's motivating people. It's a motivating factor that becomes very important.
And it's not, is it a historical motivation or a current motivation? And on historical level,
I assume it's a current motivation. The fact that 500 years ago they were motivated by one thing, what has that got to do with today? Except by my David. The Torah says it's awesome. Once it's awesome, the Torah says it's awesome, nothing to do about it. But if something is awesome because of Chuk Yisrael, Moshe Elecho, evidently means it depends on what's happening. What's happening today? Not what happened 500 years ago. Okay, what happened 500 years ago? Why are we doing it today? That's the problem. Because you're going to find people being mamish moshe nefesh. And you hurry by yavar on certain things that don't make any sense. I mean, if you are right, then you're going to find people, you're going to have mysterious nefesh on things that don't make any sense. What 300 years ago was a battle royal, which was really an issue, the right of the Chuk Yisrael, Moshe Elecho, that the Rabbonim went out, and really? Today, what are you carrying on for? But it's passed down, the tradition was that was no good. So what?
Does that seem bothersome in any like Chuk Yisrael?
No, no, I don't find it bothersome, but what bothers me intellectually is that you're going to have a lot of people, for example, who are going to feel that whole of Yiddishkeit now rests on this particular observance, when in fact it doesn't mean anything. Sak Lachata will look at you with your shirt, without a tie, without the kapata, so at least look like a good. And it could be that 200 years ago, or 100 years ago, whenever this was starting, that the Rabbonim were in fact telling people that if you went this way, you are going. Because you were doing, well, the people who were doing it then were doing it to follow the Goyim. Today, you're not doing it to follow the Goyim, you're doing it because the choice that they sell. What do I want to do? That's what they sell in the store. I buy it, leave me alone. What's the difference? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, my wife bought this suit, I wear it. She buys a different color suit, a different color. What do I care? Just leave me alone and don't bother me. You know, you bought this shirt, I wear this shirt. You bought this tie, I wear that. Well, what's the difference? Just leave me alone, don't bother me. What do I want to be bothered
with?
So now already you're talking about being Osher. If you're doing no, you see the Marik would be that this suit is not priestess. See, the Marik is more. No, hold on, the Marik is more. The vital point in the Marik is that this suit is not priestess. The Marik needs two requirements, not one. The Marik requires A, I'm doing it because of the Goyim, and they do it and there's no calm. B, it's preachers. Don't forget that part of the Marik. It's definitely there. What? You don't see the preachers? It's right in the Ramon. Ramon brings it. What? Either one seems to make it the Chukasei and Moiselev. You need either one.
Either one
makes it the Chukasei and Moiselev. No, either one. Preachers. The fact that I'm doing something which is a preachers shows that I'm doing it to be like the Goyim. So that is the Chuk Yisrael Moshe Elecho. This jacket is not the priest to stick about it. On the other hand, if I'm doing it because the Goyim are doing it, then that's also for that reason.
No, but also not going to time up to time the priest.
Again, that's not his question.
What?
That's what he asked before. Does it change?
Something is preparing in the short run, though.
Priest probably won't change.
It's hard to know. I mean, now you're going to have to sit down and ask the women which color dress is the most priestess thing. I mean, you're going to fall into a whole kind of controversy over which dress is the most the priestess thing. So, I don't know. Now you're going to have to sit down and go out and ask, you know, the stylist of the world which is the most priestess thing. I don't know. I think we missed you.
Yeah, I just have one final question. I understand that we've been understanding my rig. That any time there's no time, it's not that this is the problem with doing the culture or the. The way with Marik is saying, oh, but either it's preachers, oh, but Dabba Shinagul, Minagul of Hope, Bain Tamadabar, the Ekon Mechotim Shindaki, Hamori the Sheikh, Hashem, it's all of us to come to Abotain. He's just saying the fair to the whole culture, it's not that if there's no time, it's 1986, the fair comes up, there's no problem. He seems to say the problem is that we don't know any reason. And therefore, that the chashash, Ikol Mecha Shadaki, and this might be still a person may have a fan.
In other words, it's a history.
Exactly
it's
why they bought. I mean, I think that's exactly what he's saying.
Right. Why is the fan of Tom Badar?
No. He's saying is that it could be that the thing that we don't understand today, is because it was instituted 100 years ago as a chok by the Zohar. That's how it got started, and that was the offer.
So it's exactly what Michael was asking. That if it started out for
Shemesh
Sabah Kamiya
was saying, that is what he's
answering.
Unless you have
that's
a,
right.
Unless you have a
talent
in doing that. Now, what happens if it changes? Now, which is included in the second part, which is not a revolution.
He says the
problem
with the
only problem is
that he says there's no way
you
can prove that the clothes we now wear
were inherently
going.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you want to see Rabbi Shmuel Truba on the clothing, it's in the first chelik of your day, it's payout.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, in all cases, you go Boshu Roy. The majority of people who are making stars are not making it for the Jews. But Moshe has a very interesting theory. I mean, again, how you understand the theory, I don't know. But his theory is, he writes a tshuva on the clothing. And in the tshuva he writes, he says, who says that the style was meant for the goyim? Maybe it was meant for the Yidden.
What do
you mean it was meant for the goyim?
It's not the
yuchah
of the goyim. It's not the yuchah. It's not specifically for any goyim practice.
Yeah, I guess he'll argue that it's done to make money for no other reason. Yeah. You got to keep the fool buying new clothing. And the only way you keep is buying new. Fine. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, Rav has a very interesting insight now. He'll say that the only time there's a mitzvah is when each nationality has a particular style of dress. Italian was one way, and Dave was one way, but today the emphasis is on conformity. They're everyone looking the same. So we don't have like Mahavir has a lot of Mao become Yuchalayan. So this issue is irrelevant. So we work close today. We're not trying to imitate an American or Italian, but there's an international mode and standard style of dress.
Okay. No problem. Okay. There is a tshuva that Rav Moshe has on Thanksgiving. The tshuva is an unpublished tshuva. I happen to have just seen a copy of it once. So far it's unpublished. As of late it's unpublished. What will happen, I don't know. He has a tshuva on the Thanksgiving. He quotes a Gemara in Kedushin. I think the Gemara in Kedushin is on Lev Vav Amud Aleph. Where there the Gemara says that the Jews participated in the meal which Yanai HaMelech celebrated in honor of victory of a tremendous wars which he was involved in. So evidently you see that the Yidden participated in a meal thanking Hashem for having won a war. Yeah. So he says, well, it could very well be that Thanksgiving is the same thing. The people came, they came to America, they were triumphant or whatever happened, and they instituted a thing which is called Thanksgiving, and evidently there's nothing wrong. He is not overly impressed with this line of reasoning, and he says it could be that's only the first time. It could be when I had the war and I was triumphant and I make a meal to thank Hashem for that meal. What? Okay, so that's a meal which is tended in honor of a victory and I'm thanking Hashem for what he did. On the other hand, to make that into a national holiday forever and ever, since that of course it could be that you run into the problem which is called the Chukai Seyam Moshe Lechu. There are, by the way, a number of tshuvas which he has on the Thanksgiving, all of them, as of late, unpublished, and in which it's very difficult to know exactly. He seems not be so 100% certain that it's not the Chukai Seyam Moshe Lechu, maybe it is the Chukai Seyam Moshe Lechu. What about eating turkey on Thanksgiving? Not eating turkey on Thanksgiving? You run the range of people. There are some people who tell you to eat Thanksgiving on turkey, it's your Horin Vayava. There are others who tell you, what's the big deal? It's not such a problem. Whatever. This is really basically what it all hinges on. How are you going to be the Ashes this kosher?
One of the issues
Well, see, it could very well be that the American public today doesn't do anything. It's just a day off from work. The average person is a day off from work.
Thanksgiving is a dinner
young. Well, that's pretty much, if you look carefully, you'll see it in the Marik, too. I'm doing the Ramah brings the Marik. Anyway, we have the Ramah. If you look carefully, we don't have time to go through it all. You'll see the Goyim has another teretz to the Taisus Kasha, the Goyim and the Shulchan Aruch. The Goyin has another teretz to Taisus Kasha. Other Rishonim have different to us. And pretty much we follow the ruling of the Ramah. And as far as that is concerned, let's go on. Let's go on to the next question, that of giving presents to the Goyin. We'll talk about it within the realm of doing it at the end of the year, but it really doesn't make that much difference because it really, as someone said, if you said it, something definitely apply. Are you allowed to give a present altogether? That is also the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara is on Daf Chof. The Gemara has a pasuk. The Gemara quotes a pasuk which is called Leisachanim. Leisachanim is a pasuk which is three different pshatim which the Gemara has. One of them is Leisitna Lehem Chaniya B'Karka, that I've heard or will hear Shavurim on Shavuos. That's the problem of selling Eretz Yisrael to a Goy on Shavuos. Hinges very much on this particular pasuk. There are two problems with selling to the Eretz Yisrael to the Goy. One is a question of Shavuos is manazer, whether it's a Dreiser or a Drabonin. And the second one is whether or not you're allowed to sell the Karka to Eretz Yisrael at all. That's the pasuk of Leishichonim, where the Gemara Darshan is Leishitna Lehem Chaniya B'Karka. You're not allowed to give them any. You're not allowed to sell them Eretz Yisrael. It's an issue of the right. I think it's the Chazon Ish who points out that it could very well be if Shrius is Manazed the Rabbonim. Right? So listen, the Chazon Ish says, what are you doing? You're not selling Eretz Yisrael to the good. In order to save the Rabbonim, you're violating the right. Because Leisachonim, if you're going to learn that the Pshat is Leisitna, Mechiya B'Karka, so that's the issue of the right. So in order to save the issue of the Rabbonim, you're going to violate the issue of the right. Again, that's for a completely different topic. That's the topic of Shavuos, about selling Eretz Yisrael to a Goy, which this year is Shavuos. The next tarot that the Gemara brings, the next way the Gemara understands the Pasuk of Leisachonim, is you're not allowed to Leisitna Lehem Chayim. I want to say something nice about a Goy. The Gemara there talks about later about saying about how beautiful a particular Goy was and so on and so forth. Hopefully doing the Gemara will be allowed to do that. That's also the Shaila of Leisachonim. That is nothing. What? Which Goyim this applies to is a topic which I'm specifically staying away from. I mean, who it applies to? Oh, let's stay away from that. We'll be here forever. I mean, that should be a complete topic unto itself. Which Goyim does this apply to? Any what we're talking about, you're going to have this problem of which Goyim does this apply to. The whole problem of throwing Goyim out of Eretz Yisrael, to which Goyim does this apply to? Is it only to the Shiva Amim? Is it to all Goyim? Are Christians called Goyim? Are Muslims called Goyim? But this is a topic unto itself. We get into that, that's another topic by itself. That's the second way. The third way the Gemara understands Leisachonim is Leisitna Lehem Matnas Chinim. Not allowed to give him a present. No, so that's all problems. I'm just a simple reading of the Gemara. Leisitna Lehem Matnas Chinim. I'm not allowed to give him a present. So I'm never permitted to give a Goy a present. So you have no problem about giving a Goy a present at the end of the year. I'm not going to give him a present on a plain Tuesday. So that is not as simple as it sounds. That Tosfos and all the Rishonim ask a very interesting kasha. From a number of places in Shas, you find not this way. You find that people gave Goyim presents. What happened to the Yisra of Leisachonim? So if you take a look at Tosfos, the Tosfos is... That's what we're going to come to. That's what Rishonim said. It's not mine. Take a look, for example, the Taisus, the Gemara is in Avodah Zarah Daf Chof, where the Taisus says, Rabbi Yehuda Ayim Dvarim Kitzov. Again, I forgot to mark the pages with numbers. I'm sorry. Taisus says, Rabbi Yehuda Ayim Dvarim Kitzov. Okay. Take a look on the third line of the Taisus. Taisus says, V'hikshu Rivom. It is the Gemara of Zoran Dachov. I'm sorry I didn't number the pages. The Taisus says, V'hikshu Rivom. Taisus asks, Akasha, what's going on here? The Hacha also, Matashina Ramla, Rabbi Yisrachovim, Rabbi Yehuda. Here the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to give a Goy a present. Right? Taisha says that the Gemara in the Sukkot is talking about sending the side of an animal to a goy. Now, what do you mean you're giving the animal to the goy? I'm not allowed to give the goy a present. So how is it possible that there should be such a thing called I'm giving the goy a present? How can the Gemara in the Sukkot talk about sending a present, a side of an animal to a goy? I'm not allowed to give a present to a goy. Taisus further goes on and Taisus says, other kashas. Tosfos asked the kasha from a Gemara in Erevin. From the Gemara in Erevin, it's mashma that they gave something to the goy. They were walking along with the goy, and they found something there. The sugya of the Gemara is about walking by when you're passing the bread, which is on the street. You're not allowed to walk by and leave it there. Anybody talk about what they did with it? What to do? It's a shayla, whether it was pasakim, it wasn't pasakim. Anyway, so they finally decided to give it to the goy. Akash, what did they decide to give it to the goy? How can you give it to the goy? You're not allowed to give a present to a goy. Now I'll give a present to a guy. So Taisa's answer is as follows. The Yeshlaima, the Daki Sholem, Einzu Matnas Chinam. What does that mean? What does it mean? The Daki Sholem, Einzu Matnas Chinam.
That Chinam means literally for nothing. No, it's for no purpose
other than to create friends. Chinam means I'm giving him the present and I don't expect to get anything in return. When I give a guy a present, Taisa says, that's called I'm giving him a present. I expect nothing back in return. If I'm doing it to keep the peace, so why am I doing it? I'm not giving it to him because I want to give it to him. I have an ulterior motive. Listen here, Mr. Goy, I want you to be nice to me. I don't want you to start off with me. I want you to be nice to my kids. I want you to be nice to my family. Do me a favor. Here, I'll give you a present. Fine. That'll keep you happy. That'll keep you happy. Taisha says, if I'm giving it because of Darkei Sholem, that itself is a reason. And then it's not called... Then it's not called a matnas chinam. If you take a look, I mean, again, if there's no the next page has the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Nun Aleph Yud Aleph says also lite matnas chinam why with techoven, and the Machaber puts in two words. The what? It's in the title. She'eno makiro. What's accomplished by the two words of She'ena Makiro? Tyson brings it too. What's accomplished by Eina Makiro? Eina Makiro means I don't know who he is. Well, what happens? Because if I'm giving it to somebody who I don't know who he is, he doesn't know who I am either. If he doesn't know who I am and I don't know who he is, so why am I giving it to him? I'm giving it to him because nothing, I just want to give it to him. That's a Matnas Chinam. That is awesome. That is awesome. A present which is given, I'll come to you in a second, a present which is given with a reason or an ulterior motive behind it, that's not called a present. If you find, for example, those are the Gemara that we have there, the Gemara of Pesachim and the Gemara in Erevin, which Taisus asked, and if you take a look, you'll find the Rishbam. It's very hard to know which source is exactly, you know, to bring all the Rishonim seem to say the same thing. The Rishbam in Ches, it is the last page of the notes, that the Umash Hashom in Kohanar B'Shalei Achodim Yerach Unochi, איך ישיאש לי משהו אומר אותו לא צריך מה נסחינו ואומרתי לו איזה הודו שלך ירח לנוכל לו איזה חינם אלא לגמר למה שקודם אוי בגוי שאין אוי בן אבי נזור He already talks about the different kinds of goy. The Rashba has added on something else. The Rashba has added on that it could be that this is only a goy who worships Abay Nizor. You'll find this in the Yiri, in the Rashba, and many Rishonim seem to have that as the Teres. That when the Gemara talks about giving a present to a goy, it means which kind of a goy. It could be it's only a goy who worships Avodah Zarah. A goy who is not worshipping Avodah Zarah, on him it's not also to give it to a goy. Or he says the Teretz of Taisus gives, which is basically that if I'm giving it to him for an ulterior motive, then that is not called Matnas Chinam. So now you have as follows. All of these presents that I give it, I mean, I don't know about you, but most of the people that I know, all of these presents that I give it, why are they given? Listen, this is my mailman. I know if I don't give him a present, I'm not going to get my mail delivered. Or if I get my mail delivered, it's not going to be done as well as somebody else. Or what will happen is, hey, listen here, now the guy has 2,000 pieces of mail to deliver. Oh, he remembers, and you should know these guys remember, he remembers. Go, and that guy there, he didn't give me a present. All right, here's, I'll bring it in 3 weeks. I want my mail early, I want my mail on time. I want to be able to pay my bills on time. So as far as I'm concerned, the reason why I'm giving him a present is not because I'm giving him a present because I want to give him a present. I'm giving him a present because I want my mail to be delivered. You give the garbage man a present because you want them not to break your garbage pails, or for whatever reason people give presents to them. Therefore, according to Taisus, as well as all the other Rishonim, you would fall in out of the category of a matnas chinam, and it now becomes something which is being done for an ulterior motive. Something which is being done for an ulterior motive is not called a matnas chinam, and therefore would be mutter.
Let's say with an
asking,
which condition can be with an ulterior motive?
I can only tell you that the Gemara says, I don't know if this is exactly what you mean, the Gemara says that if they just ask them, you're not willing to give back. But if it's a Kiddush Hashem, you surely have to give it back.
Both. I think Gemara means both. Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem. Kiddush Hashem, you have to give it back. Well, I mean, evidently, I mean, you have to give it back. I think if it produces a Kiddush Hashem, the Gemara says you have to give it back. Aved is Akum. Or Tor is Akum. I went into a store and the store owner is non-Jew. And they gave me too much change. So I'm not a Kohen because I didn't take anything. It was given to me voluntarily. So Gemara says, if it's a Kiddush Hashem, you definitely have to give it back. We pass and get the Lakum is awesome. Most people go around telling you that we pass and get the Lakum is Muslim. To steal from a guy is awesome, 100%. I mean, we pass and get the Lakum is awesome. The only question is, what happens if I didn't steal? I found his Aved. So the Gemara says, where there in fact is a Kiddush Hashem, you have to give it back. I know somebody who once, there are some people who wear shayla that hurt. He bought a house. And when he was looking through the house, he bought the house with all the furniture. And he was looking through the furniture, one of his kids found, underneath the mattress, found diamonds. Many, many diamonds. They didn't know what to do. He had bought the house with a person who was non-Jewish. They called up Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. And I heard this from somebody who was standing there when he called him up. It's in the book. I know I heard it from the fellow who was there. He says when it happened. I mean, I know the fellow who happened. And he called up Ramesh Feinstein, and Ramesh Feinstein says, definitely give it back. He says, Fafu Tola Kem and Kaifanak Kiddush Hashem. He says, you're going to buy a Kiddush Hashem. They're going to say, look at what these Jews do. Jews do this. Goyim don't do this. Jews do it. That's a Kiddush Hashem, not a Chilul Hashem. Definitely the Goyim didn't even know it was there. And I'm told it was quite a substantial amount of money. And the guy now, by the way, who gave it back is a multimillionaire. I'm not telling you that's why it happened, but I'm just telling you facts. Now he's a multimillionaire. Before that, he was not. He wasn't poor, but he wasn't as wealthy as he is now. Another guy. So evidently, if it's a Kiddush Hashem, that's also not called Matnas Chinam. If it's Kiddush Hashem, it's not called Matnas Chinam. For example, there are many things that I do, I mean, again, a little personal history, there are many things that I do owing to the fact that I'm the rabbi in the community. And everybody knows you're a rabbi. There's certain things you're just going to have to do differently. That's not called a matnas chinam. If I go ahead and I give a present to the mailman, so if I give him more than everybody else gives, evidently he's going to say, oh gee, rabbi, Jews, nice people. Don't forget, I'm the only one that he understands is Jewish. You know, the rest of the people he doesn't understand. They look like Jews. There's a rabbi and somebody who has a kapata with a beard. Everybody else is not Jewish. So, if you have such a position in the community, evidently it requires that you have to act in a certain way. You know, when it hurts. Because that, somebody's going to scream, you're giving them a matnas chinam. No, it's not a matnas chinam. I want the people to know that Jews are nice people. That's not a matnas chinam. You can give the money because you want your mail delivered on time. But there could be a positive reason for it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It comes out, we'll just send you the matnas
chinam. Well,
almost.
Discussing this with somebody the other day, he said to me, so what is a matnas chinam? Give me an example in your life of a matnas chinam. That's what this fellow asked me. I was talking to somebody about this, and I was preparing. So he said to me, what's a matnas chinam? Give me an example in everyday life of a matnas chinam.
Tell us to a guy you don't know from Adam and you give him a present.
If I'm driving on the train, I'll tell you the example I gave him. I'm riding on the train. There's a guy going around, he's collecting. He doesn't know me from home. And I sure don't look necessarily more Jewish than anybody else. Is that called matnas chinam? The finest thing, maniye, akumi, maniye, Yisrael means maybe they know. There's a Gemara in Gittin, which the Gemara says, the finest thing, maniye, aniye, akumi, maniye, Yisrael. That's Mishum Darki Sholem. No, that's only if he knows. If he knows, he looks Jewish. I don't necessarily look Jewish. How does he know that I'm Jewish? I'm not wearing a yarmulke. I'm wearing a hat. He doesn't know I'm Jewish. Maybe that's a matnas chinam. You're walking along in the street and the guy comes. You're driving in your car. They come and they wash your windows.
You don't want
them to break your window.
They can get for your last name because I consider you Jewish. Give an honor to Christian charity.
Maybe that's a matnas chinam.
They
have other problems.
You mean they know that Jews give?
Right.
I mean they know that Jews give. Well, fine, in other words, all Jews give.
And
yeah.
It's not necessarily
moving. So that would not be a matnas chinuch. Yeah, sure. I mean, if you approach it that way, then it's definitely not be a matnas chinuch. On the other hand, the guy in the train, I don't know if he knows anything. You're talking about people who keep statistics and keep names and addresses of who gives what to where.
But it's not necessarily the giver.
You mean the guy sitting next to me knows that I'm Jewish?
Right.
Uh huh. So, in other words, according to that, if I should put up a sticker in my window of my car that I gave to such and such a charity, so that the people on my block who know that I'm Jewish should know that I gave. Uh huh. Okay.
So it's creating good PR for the Jews. It doesn't matter whether it's creating good PR for Jews or not. But normally they're learning to keep the peace.
It's a sort of a buying and insurance policy. You know, it's like you know, I pay the you know, the people not to have problems. And the Rambam is probably right. But I don't know if everybody likes the Rambam. That is as far as the Darkei Sholem is concerned. That is as far as giving presents is concerned. That is as far as Yom Tov is concerned. You find other questions which came up. What?
We discussed giving presents on December
25th. Well, to discuss giving it on December 25th, there you would have to learn through the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, where Taisus talks about how do we deal with going altogether 3 days before the Yom Tov. But that comes a problem unto itself. But there, the bottom Taisus on the first Lamed of the Zohar. By the way, a fascinating sect of the Zohar. Fascinating.
Would there be a problem with the Goyim giving presents on December 25th?
It could very well be that it's also because you're not allowed to do anything with the Goyim 3 days before and 3 days after the Yom Tov. Because that causes them to worship more of the Zohar. He's talking about giving them the present on December 25th. The day when they start to, well, there the problem was that they went, as they were getting close to the Yom Tov, they somehow felt that they're more indebted to their God because of the fact that they made more money, more business. The fact that things were going well for them somehow enhanced their appreciation of the Yom Tov.
Most of the nowadays don't feel that much religious experience.
You learn through the Taisus. That's pretty much what, well, one of the truths of the Taisus is the Goyim are not Goyim. No,
so
the Goyim are not
so
Goyim.
Give it to them on December 20th.
Check the bottom Taisus in the first Omid of Avodah Zarah. Beis Amid Aleph, I think it is.
You give an end of the year bonus to all your
employees.
You
end of the year bonuses is again the same thing. A bonus is given because you want to enhance the people to work more. But it's again, it's the same kind of a problem. It's the same kind of a heter. If the heter is a heter, then it's a heter to anything.
No, it's given specifically that time of the year.
Okay, fine. So maybe somebody would come along and say, I'll give it a little earlier. But the fact is that the bonus which is given by the boss, he's not giving it because he wants to give away his money. I mean, come on, let's be honest. He's giving a bonus because he wants the workers to know that the people who work best can make, you know, get more money. You know, the more you produce, the more you get. The better worker you are, the higher your bonus. The more your bonus is, so the more you're going to get. And the more I'm going to get, means the more I'm going to work next year. He's not giving it because he likes me. He's giving it to me because he wants to make certain that I'm going to work more next year. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Yeah, but Taisus brings that in the Masechta. The only question which we did not take up, well, there's probably more than just one that we didn't take up, but there is one other problem which again the Malama Lahoyal discusses, which we didn't take up, and that is he had a Shaila, for example, of somebody coming into court and swearing without a yarmulke. There are all sorts of various problems that fell into this question of dealing with the goyim. It's like a whole separate kind of a problem as to whether or not when you come into court and you would swear without the yarmulke, is that called the following of the goyim? You come into a room today, and they say, everybody take off your hat.
And you come into court. Everybody remove your hat. So today we're big shots. Today we put on a yarmulke. That's supposedly okay. It's the fact that they go without hats because of that. Or is that some shots? I don't know. Maybe some kind of mishigat that they go without hats. You would have to know exactly where all of this fits in. This is very briefly, again, as I say, this is very briefly the topic of the Chukaseyam Leishelechu. You would have incorporated into this speech, dress, holidays, gifts, presents, and things of all that sort. As far as dealing with them on say holidays is concerned, that's the beginning of Avodah Zarah. That's a special topic, especially the first Taisus talked about today. Today we deal with guys. Today we do deal with guys. Nobody closes the store 3 days before December 25th. If anything, that's the day when it's supposed to be the biggest business. How many shopping days left? You know what? So nobody closes their business. According to the Gemara, you should really probably close your business.
Going to the theater and attending other cultural events would also be looked into when you're saying
remotely. I mean, I don't know if going to the theater is called B'chuk Hashem Leishalech, but I want to go to the movies. See, swearing in court without my yarmulke on, that is B'chuk Hashem Leishalech, because why do they go without hats? Well, maybe today that's just a macho thing. But I don't know, going to the movies, I guess you go to the movies, you want to have a nice time. I don't like going to the movies. If you like it, I mean, if you can take sitting in the dark there, if you like it, you like it. But, you know, it's a form of an entertainment. I don't know if it's called B'chuk Hashem Leishalech. Well, it does have Rashi, for instance, Chumash about going to the theater and things of that sort. That could be a motion later. I don't know if that's what Chumash says. That's not a waste of time. Is that called Chumash says? I think the Gemara does bring. The Gemara brings.
Say you should go now, but you should see if you get killed.
Okay, that is the a brief summary of the topic. What? I don't know. He's asking a very good question. Rav Moshe seems to differentiate between December 25th and January 1st. December 25th, surely. And January 1st, maybe. What's the difference? One was the birthday and one was the bris. You mean in America? December 25th is the day when everybody goes to church. Gentlemen, I thank you for listening.
We have next week.